Hi.
Welcome to another movie podcast, the show that'll trade up lots of assassin gold coins for McDonald's stock in the 1960s. I am Oscar, and with me today is...
Ralph. What did I miss?
The founder.
Oh, okay.
I combined both movies.
I was like, what happened?
And only with me today is Ralph for the moment. Luke will join us later on in another segment of this episode.
Mine is me.
This is episode number 17, right? In today's show, we're going to talk about the Oscar nominations. It's coming up. It's right around the corner, guys. I think
Didn't they like to be called the Academy Award nominations?
Yeah, but everyone knows them as the Oscars, you know?
Right, but, you know, I think it's more respectful if we call them the Academy Awards.
I think they don't. I don't give a shit. No, they give a shit what we call them.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
The Academy Awards, sure. We're gonna review a movie called The Founder, which is a biopic about the McDonald's and how it started, how it got franchised, and made into the thing it is today. And then we're gonna end our review show with John Wick Chapter 2. And that's going to be fun. I'm just going to say that right now. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com, otherpodcast.com. Again, that's otherpodcast.com is where our main site is at. You can find now the bonus episodes that are starting to trickle out every month are on there. All the future marathons is going to be on there. The best of lists we've been doing in January are all on there. And every episode we've ever made and will ever make will be on there. You can also follow the show itself on Twitter at PodMovieCast as well. Detailed show notes for all this information is available on every show you listen to. Now, before we get started on the show for today, let us talk a little bit about what we've been watching. And I'm starting it off today, and I've been watching, saw this movie for the first time that I heard a lot about when it came out. Came out, I think, like 2014. So I missed it out. Back then, because I was watching like full-on movies a lot back then. Anyway, it's The Keeping Room. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
All right. Left without men in the dying days of the American Civil War, three women must fight to defend their home and themselves from two rogue soldiers who have broken off from the fast approaching Union Army. And it's it stars Britt Marling, which is interesting because this is the most straightforward movie I've ever seen her in. Hailee Steinfeld, Sam Worthington, Muna Otaru, and Kyle Soler, and the rest are just bit parts. I don't know much about the filmmakers on this or the writers on this, but I just heard good things when it came out, and it was a 99-cent rental on iTunes.
Okay,
hence that's why I saw it, and it's kind of a grueling depiction of it's not like it's like, oh my god, look how bad it was to live back then. It was more like violence, it is a cycle, and war is usually a main attribute to why violence is such a bad thing that can happen in the way that it does in the movie. And the rogue soldiers are basically, the way they're painted, because it opens with them, it's they're painted as people who have seen way too much violence. And I'm not saying they're great killers, but they've become numb to it and kind of seek it out and don't care what they do anymore. And you can tell. And Britt Marling has, in the world of Western, of the old age, she is comparatively so Cleopatra. She's beautiful compared to everyone else who's like butt ugly all the time. You know, so they see her and you can imagine they follow her to her home. And that's where they have to kind of like fight them off. And it becomes it's mainly a thriller, but it's also like a slow moving thriller in a way. And it's a slow burn, but it has a good ending. Yeah, I mean, all his emotions are on his sleeves. Nothing crazy.
Okay.
But it's really well acted, I think. Has a really weird twist when it comes to someone that's approaching the house. They shoot him, and it's somebody else that I won't spoil because I don't know. I can't tell you who it is. But it's interesting.
Okay.
You could tell right away it's not somebody else, too. Anyway, so that's The Keeping Room. I recommend it. It's not, like, great or anything. I wouldn't have made my top 10 that year, but I liked it. Another movie here we got. Oh, my God. You did not remember my thing? Anyway. It's the latest M. Night Shyamalan movie, Split. Shyamalan? Three girls are kidnapped by a man with diagnosed 23 distinct personalities and must try to escape before the apparent emergence of a frightful new 24th. Wow, that's supposed to come a lot. And it stars James McAvoy and Anna Taylor-Joy. Everyone else is really bit parts. You and I saw this movie, not together, but we saw it. What did you think? A lot of people call this a return to form for M. Night, and along those lines anyway. It is a successful movie. It has made a lot of money for him.
Sure.
How do you feel about the movie?
Budget-wise and everything, yeah. I like the movie. I mean, overall, I didn't have complaints with it. Everyone raves, or I guess critics rave, how this is like the greatest ending ever.
Is it critically?
I think it's
successful?
Mixed critically. Like,
I know it didn't make it. I know it wasn't critically bashed or anything, but it wasn't. I'm
sure.
Was it high?
I honestly like. I don't see if it's a return to form. I just feel like he's not as crazy as he is in other movies. Or I don't know. This felt like a regular movie for me. Like it's intimate. I didn't hate it. I liked it. It's not Lady in the Water, for example, so that's a good play.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Okay. That's a good thing, yeah. But, you know, but it's not like, I don't know, Signs or something, Sixth Sense, if you want his bigger.
I would honestly say it's better for me than Signs.
Okay.
But I've always been if among people we both know, I mean, generally, I'm known for not liking Signs.
It's better than The Village.
The way everyone loves so much. Yeah, it's better than The Village. I would say that there is a sense of power returning, because if this movie came out, let's say after The Village, we would see it as that's cool, and that's still striking. Okay, like, 'cause The Village, even though we don't like it or hate it, I mean, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I like it. Yeah. I don't love it, but it still wasn't like detracted or hailed, but it was fine.
Sure.
It was good. You know, it's not The Sixth Sense, but it's good. Everyone's was saying
it's not The Happening.
Right, it's not The Happening either. But I'm saying if he had made this Split movie right after that, it would have been part of that oeuvre of M. Night being a good director still.
I agree. Yeah, exactly.
Right, so,
for sure. I mean, comparing it to the beginning, beginning careers.
His first two, I think, are still the best.
Sixth Sense, Unbreakable?
Unbreakable is still my favorite.
Okay.
Which obviously goes into this movie. Yeah.
Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, right?
Right. And we won't spoil anything. This is just what we've been watching. But I will say that Split, I might have hyped it up too much. It was hyped up insanely to me, but I really had no idea it was going to come to that way. But even the movie itself, let's say you take the ending out, which is what everyone talks about, I really love the first half. The first half is really great, I think, because it builds suspense and it's shown to, like, the camera work, the acting, James McAvoy,
sure.
I mean, 10 out of 10, on the way he acts, not that he's great. I'm saying he's great, but he's not, like, whatever. The style of it and the flow and the music, and it's classic Shyamalan. It's also classic, like, great directing, you know, in general.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, he does some really good stuff. There's some stuff, like, in the third act and stuff that kind of falls apart, and it gets definitely crazy, but he likes it crazy, and I think we're supposed, you know, it's just good. It's like a really good B-movie, maybe.
Right, but,
do you feel,
yeah, I don't know.
Do you feel that it, the controversy and the... on the mental disorder thing.
Ah, nothing.
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 Me either. I feel nothing about it.
Everyone's just butthurt about everything.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Everyone
just
gets butthurt.
I went in there knowing, like, you go in there watching The Happening, and it's
because,
like, okay,
it was
against trees? Are we going to hate them for hating trees now?
Yeah, and, right.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, don't take this seriously, folks. It's just a movie. Anyway, so that's Split. We've been watching that. Roth, you've been watching another movie you saw?
Yeah. I watched the Lego Batman movie. This is directed by Chris McKay. I don't know what else he did, and I'm not going to look.
Was it the Lego movie?
Probably. I'll read the quick description. Bruce Wayne must not only deal with the criminals of Gotham City, but also the responsibility of raising a boy he adopted. So it's the Lego universe.
Right.
He is still a master builder in this. He even considers himself a master builder, whatever. And it's interesting.
So does it continue from the Lego movie?
It's after.
Really?
It's like he's just in Gotham.
So, like, the Lego movie is an adventure that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or, like, something along the line. Like, they don't care because they're in their own universe and it never got affected on their part, you know, or whatever.
I guess so.
So, okay. Yeah, he's just being Batman. Batman, awesome. And it's a cool, like, little thing about learning how to, you know, like...
What, not be a dick?
Well, it's, like, more like not being... learning how to let go of your fears and learning how to, you know, let people in. And it's pretty cool. Batman is played by Will Arnett.
I remember that.
Yeah, so he's funny. He's still, the reason I bring it up is still the, like, Lego Universe thing is because of the fact that he's a rapper, for example. He can play guitar.
Oh, like, that's right. I remember the music.
He brings his own music out in this too.
Right, remember the music.
And it's really funny.
Lonely. Parents dead. Yeah, I remember that from the Lego movie. Yeah.
And it's just really funny. There's a lot of really funny moments in this movie. Some heartfelt moments, but they're all really played out well. And I think my best performing, or best at least voice actor wise, is Joker, which is Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and, like, the whole thing is, like, it's based on our, like, the Joker wants to know that he has a relationship with the Batman, and the Batman's telling him, like, I have no relationship with anybody. I could care less about you. You're useless to me. You are nothing. And, like, the Joker's crying. He's like, oh my God.
He broke his heart.
He's like, I just want you to say that you're my worst. Yeah, I'm your number one enemy. He's like, oh, like, Superman's my number one enemy? Not you? He's like, Superman's a good guy. He's like, oh, then I guess me? Like, I can't think of anyone else who could beat myself. Like, beat me? And he's just so really funny. Like, he's, like, so out of tune.
Yeah,
and it's really funny. It's a really good story.
Do you recommend it? I mean, everyone can enjoy it, or is it like no kid?
Anybody can enjoy it. Yeah, like my kid's too young to enjoy it.
Right.
So that kind of humor, he needs to be like 5 or 6. He's 3. So yeah, that's the Batman movie or the Lego Batman movie.
Right on. It's in theaters right now. You can catch it. It was one of my short list reviews that we were going to possibly do, but then this movie John Wick came out. You know, it's a little old movie.
And
that movie completely trumped this one. So. That's it for what we've been watching. We're going to get straight into our discussion.
You said the T word.
A T word?
You can't say that.
What T word?
Trump.
I said Trump?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
You said Trump, yeah.
No, I didn't.
You said it Trump to this one.
Oh, my God.
Can't say it, bro.
Fuck you. Whatever I want. He probably has like a fucking phone by his desk that says, oh, but someone says it's Trump.
Oh, I mean, yeah. We're going to get a tweet in a bit.
I mean, probably.
Hey, that'll make us famous.
No, I don't want to be famous that way. Jesus, Ralph, there's a show going on. Anyway, let's move on to our discussion of the Academy Awards nominations. So that's really the Oscar nomination.
I mean, it's really awesome. The Oscars, but yeah, sure.
Yes. So let's get started on this thing. Before we actually get through the list here, not all of them, by the way, but just the major ones, we will say that we do a vote on each other. We compete with each other
right.
On a point system.
Where
it's not super complicated, but it's something that I did make up. So, you know, take it for what it is. And at the end, we tally the points. The one who gets the most points wins. What do they win? We can make a wager, I think, for this time.
We usually just get bragging rights. That's what we usually win.
But we can make a harmless wager, not like money, I'm saying.
No, like a harmless wager as in, like you got to give up your marathon pick or something. Or like...
That's harder. That's harsher than I thought you would say. Fuck
okay.
You. I want to give you money.
Next time you need to watch something,
yeah,
you know, like loser has to buy the movie tickets for the next person or something, then we have to go to the theater.
Gotcha.
You know,
okay,
something along those lines.
I think we should do something though. We'll discuss it
yeah, for sure.
We
have to include Luke in this too though.
Yeah,
he can't escape.
I talked to him
he's
about
a
it.
Cheater though. Luke's a cheater.
Oh, he is a fucking cheater.
Let's talk about this real quick.
Okay, fine.
Luke's a cheater, and I'll bring it up why, and Oscar will back me up because it's 99.9% true. Because nothing's 100%, guys.
Antibacterial cream.
Right, exactly. Luke, he makes his picks as the Academy Awards are going on. So right before something comes up, he's like, oh, it's coming up? Original screenplay? What, won already? Oh, okay, well, bam, and he marks things like that. So he kind of gets the trends of what's going on, unlike Oscar and I. We make our things like the day before or a couple days after before, and we just have everything set up. And sometimes I'll make it on-fly adjustment day of,
yeah.
But I won't make it while the fucking show
is
on.
Yeah, that's like a rule. It makes no sense. That's so we can see each other's thing throughout the whole thing.
It's like if
you're betting everything on Fargo.
Right. It's like he's writing a check, and he wrote it in pencil, and then he can just keep erasing it and changing the amount.
Right.
That's fucked up. Like,
and that doesn't count in the bank, by the way. You need pen. So therefore, it shouldn't count for Luke.
Right.
So we're not going to allow that this year. We're going to have him scan the fucking thing and send it to me. Otherwise, he's not involved.
Otherwise, his ballot is just null and void.
Yes, it's null and void. We have no proof. He's in bumfuck Egypt. I don't know where the fuck he is.
Colorado.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
I mean, same way.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say he's on the Nile today. Anyway.
On the Nile.
So, yeah, and so we'll do that. We're going to make an event here at the house, and we're going to watch it all, and we'll talk about the winners, what we think of the ceremony, who's hosting one of the...
That one guy who's...
Saturday Night Guy.
No. That other guy.
The late night talker dudes. The famous one.
Yep, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. He's like a very generic name.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'll find that for you.
Anyway, he is hosting. We'll talk about his, I'm sure, dumbass way he hosted, or maybe he'll do great. I don't know. And we'll talk about the winners and why it sucks. And we're going to talk about what sucks about the nominations and what's great about it. So let's get to it. Let's start with the big small ones first. And what I mean by that is like best. Let's talk about the best animated feature films, Ralph. Because that's really easy as like one thing. I know that Moana, who's one of the nominations, also is nominated for a song. I think
Kimmel.
Two songs.
That's why I never remember the guy's name.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Which one are we doing?
Animated feature films.
Animated features.
Nominations are Zootopia, The Red Turtle, My Life as a Zucchini.
Which, because I would have watched that movie, huh?
Moana and Kubo and the Two Strings. You know, the Red Turtles playing at the Music Box.
That's what I just said.
Oh, you did?
I just said, which we could totally go watch that film.
Oh, you didn't say Music Box, did you?
Red Turtle. I didn't say Music Box. Hi, son of mine.
Leo is walking into the room, the three-year-old. And he's totally talking. Anyway, we'll just talk over him. This is the charm of the show, guys. So, anime feature, what do you think about these picks? I know that I mentioned in our top 10 films that animated films were, like, great this year or last year.
Well, I don't know. What's the shunt? What the fuck is
for me,
life?
April and the Twisted World is
okay,
shunt.
Okay, so sure. There you go. Me too. But My Life as a Zucchini. What the fuck is that?
Right.
The Red Turtle, I hear it's like there's not even dialogue in this movie.
I hear that. I hear it's really great too.
But
it is
like,
a foreign from.
But I've even heard people
near,
who.
I don't know.
No, it's just Japan.
Oh, it's Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I even hear that like almost nobody got screeners for this or something like that, and it like just came out here in the States. Like,
I mean, it's in theaters today,
right, barely.
Well, yeah. No. People have to have screeners for people to know this movie to nominate.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, clearly, but it seems like the clear winner would be probably Moana. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Moana.
Did Frozen win its year that it won?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would... I almost feel like if I want to be political, because they're political, the Academy Awards, if I were them...
They do Moana, yeah.
I might give it to Kubo because of the...
The shun.
Because of the... I think it will be shun. I think it's like... Because if not Moana, is Zootopia, you know, and in third place Kubo for me. And it looks like that's the winners for them. And I want Moana to win more. Like, ultimately, but I like all these movies, the three that I've seen. And I think Kubo, I would have given to it politically speaking, because stop motion animation is just such an unappreciated thing overall.
Right.
And this is a way to do it. I mean, better than Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, did that win?
That was the first year, the first movie that came out that first year.
Yeah.
And that's the last time since, you know.
Right, it's never.
As far as I remember. But you think this these lists is good, besides the two you haven't seen?
Yes. I mean, honestly, I want to watch The Red Turtle. It might change my opinion, but I got a feeling that Moana is going to take it. If Kubo and the Two... I just think Zootopia doesn't have a shot against Moana. I don't think so.
He wants my Frappuccino. Get away, kid. No, not getting any. Yeah, I agree. So let's get started. Hold this for me, Ruff. Let's get going on the next one here. We have Best Documentary Feature. The documentaries are even weirder for us. We usually are really hard for us to catch them.
I never watched them. I only watch one, I think.
We've seen three.
You have seen three.
Okay, so here are the nominations for documentary.
Fire at Sea.
I Am Not Your Negro, which is in theaters right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
Life Animated,
saw it.
Which we reviewed. OJ Made in America.
Saw it.
And 13th.
I did see it, yeah.
So you've seen three. I have seen.
What got shunned? Snowden? No.
No.
What's that one documentary that...
I mean, Werner Herzog's documentary got shunned. Not that it matters, really. It wasn't that great, but...
not that it matters, but you just said it does.
Right.
No, there's a big one that got shunned. I know there is.
No, I'm looking in my backlist right now.
Sure.
Keep talking. Pretend like you're...
I mean, I am not your Negro. I just... Yeah, I'm good. I don't even know what Fire at Sea is.
Camera person,
that's the one.
That's a big one that all the critics love. The Witness didn't get it. And my number three film of the year, Tower, didn't get it.
That's Tower.
Dude.
Okay, is Camera Person and Tower the two?
Tower. I mean, and here's one that I know you guys didn't like as much, but Wiener got a lot of love. Insane amount. More love than these movies, probably, other than maybe OJ and Made in America. Other than that, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't care for that, so.
I know you didn't care for it, but I'm saying, I certainly did.
Okay.
And I would say Zero Days.
Take it out of context. I liked it, I just didn't care for the subject.
I would honestly have taken Life Animated out. I'm sorry, for those that I mentioned that I think are better, like Tower, for sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know what Fire at Sea is, and I'm not your Negro.
Right, I'm not going to talk about those.
But I can only assume.
Yeah.
Life Animated is literally the only nice one in there.
Oh, like the positive one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
I mean,
Fire at Sea, yeah, it's a classic.
And if Life Animated wins, Disney's getting two wins this year.
Probably, even though it's not their movie, but they did basically. Their name is everywhere.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, so that's why I overall say I want OJ Made in America to win.
I mean, that'd be nice.
But in a way, I feel like 13th should get more exposure. It's like a should.
I agree, but like I told you when I first saw it, I just think like it gets out of message.
No, I know, but I think people like I think for a mass of people that have never seen this kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But I figure they're already nominated. What more exposure can they get?
Right.
I mean, I don't.
You can still put the label on your box.
Yeah.
Academy Award nominee. You know?
Right. So O.J. Made in America for me is my choice for that one, and I think it's kind of like overall that's pretty much what it is for everybody. The last little big category here I'm looking for right now. What the fuck is it? Foreign language film. This one's great because we haven't seen any of them, Roth.
I'll read about this one.
Yes.
Land of Mine. Never heard of it. Man Called Ove. Never heard of it. Oh, actually, I think I have heard of this one.
Huh.
The Salesman, Tana, and Tony Erdman. Okay.
I've only heard of two of these.
Why isn't my movie that I love this so much this year that we saw, L, why isn't that on here?
Why isn't L on here? Why isn't The Handmaiden on here? Now, the reason
I never saw Handmaiden, but yeah.
By the way, there's some, here's some inside baseball for you guys who may not know about the Oscars, is that,
they hate
people have, the production company, or really the filmmakers slash producers, the executive producers of a movie, they have to send the screeners out to all the people who are eligible to make the nominations. Now, the nominations are made by a group of like hundreds, maybe 1,000 people or so, maybe thousands,
sure.
I don't know. But a lot of people in the fields, respectively.
It's a thumb drive, guys. It's a thumb drive.
But they got to get them, the movie.
Yeah.
The only way it works is that if one country gets to have one, I think maybe two select.
But that's so stupid.
Films to select to give to them. And apparently South Korea did not give them The Handmaiden and gave them some other movie.
Wow.
That's my understanding why The Handmaiden isn't on here.
Okay, but Elle gets nominated for Best Actress.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
That's
it makes
asking.
No sense.
That's,
the Oscars are the biggest contradicting.
That's where, right, exactly. That's where it boggles me. Like, how do you?
No, I know.
How do you nominate her for it?
That's why I don't take it seriously.
But I mean, it's
fun.
And it's such a serious subject, too, if you think about it also.
Foreign language covers the world.
Well, no, I'm talking about Elle's movie also.
Oh, Elle, yeah. That's also true, yeah.
I mean, come
if it's nominated for Best Actress, you know, breach that from the foreign language.
That's
from why not put it for the best one.
I don't get it.
Maybe they hate Paul Verhoeven. Maybe that's
why. That could be true. Yeah.
So the two that I've heard of is Tony Erdman, which is, I hear, it's like almost a three-hour, like a great awkward comedy.
Yeah.
And you think a three-hour awkward comedy. I mean, I don't even know if I want to see that. But apparently it's amazing, and I want to see it. It's about a father-daughter relationship. And the other one I've heard of is The Salesman. And the reason I've heard of that is because of the controversy of, I'm sorry to invoke this name again, Trump. You know, he's from Iran, and he's not allowed back in the country because he's over there, and he's boycotting it, too. He doesn't want to try, or something like, along those lines.
Sure.
So The Salesman is made by Oscar Fajardi, who won a few years back for A Separation. Remember that movie?
No.
No, you never saw it?
I don't think I saw it.
Oh, man.
I'm really bad at it.
Like, I've seen all his movies since then, and his follow-up to A Separation I didn't like as much, but his last one, his one after that, which I'm gonna,
it's hard to follow greatness, right?
I forgot all the names, but that one was so good.
Yeah.
And then I haven't seen The Salesman because it's not out yet.
A Man Called Ove is Swedish, right? I think, or from Finland, one of those two.
Probably.
Yeah. No. I think it's based on a book.
Oh, okay.
Everything from them is based off a book, and I think I haven't read the book, but I know.
Are you saying they have no original thought?
Yes.
Okay.
And just like us, so
true.
And I know the book was really popular. Or I think it was. And if I'm thinking if it's the same one, I could be completely wrong.
Right. Critically speaking, Tony Erdman has had the most praise.
I have heard more of that.
And has been out longer for critics, so I think that's going to win.
I've heard more of that, yeah.
I'll probably shoot that.
I've heard that name out of all of them. But,
right. Yeah. I know that Salesman and Erdman are at the Music Box, for example, right now.
Oh, okay.
But have to make all that drive all the way over there.
It's far, yeah.
And that's three films. The Red Turtle, that's one. I mean, that's three of the movies I want to see.
Right.
There,
it's far, yeah. I mean, for us anyways. So.
And we have jobs and lives and shit. So.
Right.
So those are the big little nominations. Anything you want to say about them, or we want to continue?
No.
We're not going to talk about any of the shorts because we haven't seen them, or if we have, it doesn't matter. We just don't know anything about them. Best Pictures. Let's go from there and down. Best Pictures are weird. I don't know why they just don't choose 10. What is this bullshit with choosing 9? Who's heard of 9 anything? Like, I don't understand. Sometimes we'll go with 8 or 10. Just stick to a number. They can't think of a 10th great movie? Really? That drives me crazy. It's just that weird difference. Best Pictures are Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. The funny thing about all these titles is that, alphabetically speaking, none of them pass the letter M. So, like, half the alphabet's gone.
That is true.
Okay. So, how do you feel about these Best Picture contenders?
I've seen 5 of them.
How do you like the batch of the 5 you've seen, then?
4 of them should be nominated.
Four of them should be nominated. Which four do you approve? Not approve of, but
everything
like,
besides Arrival. Everything. Fences. Yeah. Actually, no. I'm sorry. I joke.
I was about to slap you.
No. Fences, I say. Arrival should be there. La La Land. Moonlight. And the only other one I saw is Hell or High Water. I don't know why it's up there for Best Picture.
Right. You saw that recently.
I saw that recently, yeah. I mean, I liked the movie. I thought it was cool and all.
Right.
I did not
and
see
it's not
it.
Just nominated for that. It's nominated for Jeff Bridges.
I didn't see Best Picture.
Screenplay.
I didn't see Best Picture nominated. I, like, written all over it.
Right, yeah. I'm with you.
I'm not trying to be a dick or anything, but
no,
like,
be
like
a
I said,
dick.
It was a good movie, but I just didn't see, like, not, I didn't scream for, at me Best Picture. I didn't say, man,
right.
This left me really impactful or anything like that.
Now, in a way, that is good, because movies are more not so Oscar-grabby,
okay,
shouldn't
can,
be.
But if that can make it on there, where's the 10th, like you said?
Right, where's
why
the 10th?
Just fucking put another one.
And also,
there?
Like, I'm about the, you know, a spectacular movie doesn't have to look like an Oscar-bait movie. A spectacular movie could be anything. Now, this is a very good genre exercise movie, but it didn't do anything like super great or anything, as we both agree.
Right. Well, I think the movie that two movies on here that are on here, I think maybe even three that are on here are probably like really like heavy catering to Oscars.
La La Land.
La La Land.
Uh-huh.
I would say, even though I haven't seen it, Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
I just think it caters that. And Manchester by the Sea. And I haven't seen it. And I think those three kind of just, and I may be wrong about Manchester, but I think Manchester felt really heavy-handed.
I understand. Manchester is definitely its own movie, unlike La La Land.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's
that's
more,
good, which is good,
it's more
but like
Beatty.
The one I want, obviously, is my number one movie of the year is Moonlight.
Right. I mean, ideally, I would love for Moonlight, and honestly, they may politically speaking choose that over all the other ones. But it just seems like
they gave
there is no brainer against La La Land. La La Land would probably win, honestly. I agree, and if anything, I want Arrival to win, because even though Arrival didn't make my top 10, and
I think Arrival is a neutral choice for everybody.
I think Arrival is just much better. It's much perfect.
Let's be realistic.
It's really great sci-fi,
let's
grounded,
be realistic.
Emotional.
I haven't seen Hidden Figures, right? But
I will see that.
Put Hidden Figures against Fences and Moonlight. Moonlight and Fences win any day.
No, Moonlight beats Fences for me too. Way. Like a lot,
right? And what's it called? Lion is it's a Lion and it's a, and Manchester by the Sea, I guess, are the ones that are similar, maybe.
Right.
Hell or High Water should just not be there, like I said. Hacksaw Ridge.
I don't think Hacksaw Ridge should be on there, but I haven't seen it yet.
Right. Neither have
but
I.
But honestly, I'm
okay.
I will
I
see
almost
it.
Bit
but
the bullet
just,
and
I feel like
bought
talking
the movie for no fucking reason because I can't rent it.
Right.
And it's like you
can rent
buy
it now.
Okay.
I think you can.
I'll rent it
this
then.
Week.
Oh, thank God. Because like I was gonna buy it, and I was like, I want to fucking buy a movie, and then I'm going to be like, I hate this movie.
Right, and then you're going to have it in your
so
in your library for the rest of your life.
Right, exactly.
I
so
hear you.
I didn't want to do it.
I do want to see it also because of, you know, Andrew Garfield. Like, why is he nominated for fucking Silence and not this movie? This movie better be amazing.
Where's Silence on here? Silence going to make it for Best Picture?
Nope. Not even Best Directing, which is one of his best stuff since at least 10 years for Scorsese.
Did cinematography get on there, at least for him?
It got for, I think cinematography is right. Okay.
I
got something. Trying to look it up, and I'm terrible at this. Cinematography, Silence. Yeah, that's it. So Hell or High Water got editing too, and screenplay, and Jeff Bridges. Like, it didn't get small nominations.
I mean, yeah, it was fun how they spoke. But
I mean,
like,
it was fun at being racist,
right?
But
it was fun how they. I mean, it felt authentic. If that's what you're asking, something modern.
Maybe
something
we have to be from East Texas to get it.
No, I think we just have to be from
West
Texas, right? And Texas in general, like. But even they discriminate what part of Texas, because Texas is fucking gigantic.
Right. It's a country by itself.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Maybe we do have to be from there for that. But
even so, why is it so secular? And it's too secular then. And why is it out here? I don't know. And I have to see Lion. I want to see it.
Right.
But I don't care enough to see it.
I brought this up earlier last year and like around August. I was like, oh, I want to see Lion. And you're like, what the fuck is Lion? And I was like, oh, it's the guy from Slumdog Millionaire. Like the kid,
yeah,
Dev right?
Patel.
Exactly. And I was just like, and you're like, yeah, I never heard of it. Like, it's probably not going to be anything. I remember like you and Lou saying something like that to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, right? Like, I mean, I was like, it's not going to come out.
Yeah, he's nominated for Best Supporting.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
On top of Best Picture and Best...
Wait, he's nominated for Best Supporting? Isn't he the main actor in this movie?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God.
They do it a lot, by the way. They did it with...
Think.
Here's one of the biggest fucking weirdest things ever. Octavia Spencer. No, not Octavia Spencer. Viola Davis. Is nominated for Supporting for Fences?
Well, see, they do this on purpose, right?
I know.
Because,
so give her a chance.
Well, they do this on purpose because it's almost like... This is a clear Academy Award thing that they do. Instead of giving you the leading role thing to give a chance, it's almost like guaranteeing them the spot. Because giving them a chance is basically saying, like, you might not win in best actress, But if we put you in supporting, you're going to knock it out of the park.
Right, because you're in the movie more longer than the other
one. What makes no fucking sense?
It doesn't make any sense. It's like we're going to give it to Emma Stone anyway, right. But like we don't want to put you there because right. We won't get anything.
Exactly. Right.
Like, why are we acting like little bitches?
Right.
Is it a competition or is it not?
Right, exactly.
Oh,
that's what I don't get.
Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah.
Dude, yeah.
I'm so stupid.
But I will say, though, on top of all the bullshit and the clear backtracking they're doing and the politicizing about including more black films and just black...
Everywhere.
I mean, it is black everywhere. But it's great. I don't care how... If it comes from, like, a shady-looking idea.
These are deserved so far.
They're all here. They're here. I mean, the best supporting actors category alone is insane. And Naomi Harris from Moonlight, I mean, if Viola Davis wasn't on there, I would say her. Probably. Yeah, definitely her. I mean, I haven't seen Lion yet, but... Nicole Kidman already has an Oscar. I'm gonna go fuck. I would say let's talk about the leading roles here. What do you think about Denzel for that one? I haven't seen, I read to Captain Fantastic, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I hear it's great. I didn't want to say Fantastic.
I don't know why Ryan Gosling's nominated. He's definitely the lesser actor in that movie.
You know what? If they did, what's it called? If they did to Viola Davis for that, they should have put, what's it called? They should have done the same thing to Ryan Gosling.
No, because that would mean that he would win that one. I don't want him to win.
But no, but that if you see that, if her role is supporting,
double standard,
role as supporting also.
I
see it as Emma Stone's movie, not his.
Yeah, well, I'm really curious about Captain Fantastic. I will definitely see that. But otherwise...
Well, I still have to see Manchester by the Sea.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Everyone says it to me. Everyone's like, I mentioned it. I want to go see Manchester by the Sea. They're like, oh, like, don't plan the rest of your day or whatever. I'm like, the fuck? Like,
oh,
everyone's
okay.
Just good, like, I'm going to come out like...
No, it is a downer,
something.
But you got to realize that most people are more emotional. I don't want to say emotional, but they wear their emotions on their sleeves a lot more than you and I, Ralph. So don't worry about it. Just watch the movie.
Okay.
You're going to be fine. Don't plan anything afterwards. If it really hits you that hard, then I take it back, but I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
But I would say it's between Casey and Denzel. And honestly, I may just choose Denzel because he fucking kills it.
Honestly, Denzel, I mean, and making a fucking pun here because the movie alludes to it, he knocks it out of the park.
Oh, because of the baseball
thing?
Okay. I'm with you now. It took me a second.
I mean, he literally goes on a rant of explaining to his wife in a baseball analogy, and she's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. I say for supporting, Mahershala Ali, I would love for him to win, but I kind of wanted him to win for all the other countless amazing roles he's been doing over his life. But if not otherwise, I would say he's the best, man. Jeff Bridges, I'm sorry. He's won before. He's playing the same guy from True Grit. Don't give a shit. Lucas Hedges, he was good in Manchester by the Sea. I know you haven't seen it, but he, like, pales to Affleck for me. And Dev Patel, I haven't seen, so I can't say. Michael Shannon, why is he on here?
I didn't see Doctor.
I know I saw it, and he was fun, but just that, man.
I think that someone just went like, dude, have you noticed Michael Shannon just never stops working? We got to give him something.
We got to give him something.
Like, give him a nod, like just a nod.
Right.
Like,
where I would have given him maybe like for what's that movie he did earlier with? Oh my God, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Moonlight Special.
Yeah.
Midnight Special.
Midnight.
There you go. Anyway. Best Actress, what do you think about that one? I don't know why Meryl Streep is on here. It's like a given. Is she just nominated four people?
I heard an interesting thing about Meryl Streep where they were saying like you can't. They should just put her in like in her own like that's it. We're just gonna give her like one Academy Award for like doing great work all around, and even if she continues,
give her an honorary award every 5 years.
Right, just give her an honorary award for like, hey. We know you're an amazing actress, but we're just never going to put you on the ballot anymore just for the fact that we want to give it to other people, guys. But at the same time, they want to give it to her so she'll have, like, all the records for it, you know?
Yeah.
I think. I think that's, like, another thing.
I don't understand.
Other than that, I mean, let's see. Actress in the leading role, Isabella Huppert, or Huppert.
Huppert.
For Elle. Ruth Negga for Loving. Natalie Portman for Jackie. I don't think she's going to win it. Great performance because it's literally her in the whole fucking movie.
I think what they'll think is that we have given it to...
No, they're going to do Emma Stone, La La Land.
I know, but I would have given it to Portman.
I mean, you think so?
I think she killed it in the jacket, but she already won for Black Swan, so we can't give it to her now.
Exactly.
So I'm not saying it won't happen.
I honestly think they're going to give it to Emma Stone. If not, they give it to Meryl Streep and every other four actresses there go like, all right, I guess Meryl Streep, you know, we're fine with that.
I don't think she'll get it either. I think if Emma Stone doesn't win, it will be Portman. It's like those two
also,
are the top
contenders.
Also, that
movie, Florence Foster Jenkins, sounds and looks so boring. I saw a trailer for it, and I just don't want to watch that movie.
I never want to see that movie. I never want to see her movies. I rarely want to see them.
I mean, good for her that she's a great actress, but fuck, man. Like, her movies suck.
She needs a better agent or something. I don't understand. Supporting and the actress. I mean, Viola Davis, like we said, it's a knock. She kills it. We haven't seen Hidden Figures or Lion, but like, Naomi Harris just does not have enough screen time to validate over Viola Davis's better performance. Michelle Williams, she only has like two scenes in that movie. I know you haven't seen it. And her one scene that highlights the whole movie is pretty great, but I would never nominate her for that.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why that's happening.
Honestly, here the fight is the first two, Viola Davis and Naomi Harris, which two black actresses, good for them.
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about the little ones here. Not the little ones. Directing is a big one. Let's start with directing. Denis Villeneuve, what do you think about this guy? This guy's strange because he's a French-Canadian filmmaker. Didn't come out of nowhere necessarily, but his big splash was Prisoners. Then he did that.
Really? No. I avoided it. I don't know.
I hate that movie. I'm known for hating that movie, so you can skip it, but you can watch it, I guess. Everyone loves it.
Nah, I feel like it's a movie.
So he did that. That's when he started falling in love with... Donnie Darko guy, what's his name?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Even though he's not an Arrival, but he's in all of his other movies, basically. Sicario, he did was amazing. We loved it. He was an Enemy. We love Enemy. Strange movie.
Enemy's great. Yeah.
Strange, weird movie that would obviously never get nominated, but it would in our hearts. That guy has come a long way, I would say. And Arrival, I think, does
someone
deserve to be there.
Apparently, according to the Oscars, someone else has come a long way too.
Yeah, so Arrival, I would say. La La Land, what do you think about that directing choice? I feel like it should have been for Whiplash. Was he nominated for Whiplash?
I don't know if he was.
Then I take it back.
If he was, then good. If he wasn't, I mean, honestly, I think Whiplash is a better movie than La La Land.
I agree.
At least directed-wise, for me. I still think La La Land's a great movie. Not knocking it, but I honestly feel this is very Hollywood-y. Like, so it's just
what is
like,
it, number five?
Number five, number four, one of those two. Right. I mean, let's Manchester by the Sea, I haven't seen it. Moonlight, great. I mean, how he pulled that off with one of those interviews I heard where the actors never saw each other, none of the three, and they did it really quick. They had to do, like, the scenes with Naomi Harris, like...
Because she's the
actress. Yeah, exactly. She's the one who's in all three, and she needed to, like, actually, you know, fucking do other works because she does big other movies.
Bond movies. She's Money Penny.
Right, exactly. So she's like, hey, like, I have only,
and she's
like,
so hot and sophisticated.
I have 3 weeks to film, so basically, like,
that was cool. I was the same interview, right?
And I'm just like, yeah, that's crazy. So I mean, the shit that had to be done for this movie is, I'm not trying to say that's more than to it, but it's also a really fucking good movie.
And Moonlight, so. That's like a one-timer. Like, I doubt Barry Jenkins will ever be on this.
You can't catch her. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's lightning in a bottle, for sure.
Yeah.
And I love it that he's on here, but it might be the Whiplash of the year for that, because Whiplash came out of nowhere for us, too.
Right, exactly.
And for everyone.
And then we have, I thought, who was in director jail for, like, you know, being a dumb fuck.
I mean,
fuck.
I really can't say. I want to see it. I want to talk intelligently about it.
Right.
But I cannot even believe that Hacksaw Ridge will live up to all this hype.
Listen, I have a friend.
And nominations.
Who I would never... And this is a friend who... He voices opinion about everything.
I mean, we all do. Right. That's what we do podcasting.
Sure. But no, he almost never voices opinions about movies because he doesn't get to watch too many movies.
Oh, okay.
And even when he does, he just says, it's okay or it's not bad.
Yeah.
He legit told me, like, he saw this movie and he's like, it's my movie of the year. And I was like, I mean, it doesn't look anything great. Like, it looks cool. I'm not saying it doesn't look bad. The premise is also pretty cool, too. He's like, it's my movie of the year. And I was like, okay. Like, there's still movies to come out. He's like, yeah, but this is my movie. And I was like, sure. Like, okay, I get it. Like, he's like, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be, like, Star Wars and shit. And he's that kind of guy. He's like Luke, where he saves his number one spot for Star Wars. But he's like, no, this movie beats it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, good for you. But I still wouldn't trust him with his.
Right,
with
his choice. Yes, man. You know, if you come on and say that, maybe it'll hit me more. Because I know your taste. All right. Well, I mean, we'll see. I'm literally seeing it this week. So, another one, Manchester by the Sea. Interesting. When I first saw it, I've only seen it once. I kind of was drawn up into the more of the emotional and the acting and the writing. More than the directing itself. But I know that the director is also the writer, and I know that he is a much better writer usually than a director. He did Margaret, which I think was better directed, in my opinion, just the way it was done, even though it is known to be like an editing catastrophe. I don't know how to think about the directing job as of Manchester, but it definitely doesn't, it pales for Moon compared to Moonlight and Arrival for me. So those are my top two of those. But if I had to choose which will win, it just seems like La La Land's going to get that one too, man.
Yeah.
Damien Chazelle will get it, and he'll get that free pass to make a musical every year for the rest of our life, which is fine by me.
Sure.
As long as they're good. I don't care, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, whatever.
I don't know. Right, exactly. At least Alfonso, not Alfonso Cuarón, what's his name? Iñárritu's not nominated again. He'll win again.
Hey, he got two in a row.
Two in a row, Jesus.
And his cinematography.
Dude, I'm Hispanic and anyone to win.
And his cinematography. You know what? But like, right. The Hispanic community loved that shit. So.
Oh, they did. I know. They'll eat it up. I get it.
Paisas. Let's go to the one I'm actually really interested in.
Which one?
Best original song.
Original song, okay.
How is my song not on there from Moana, but this one is? I don't get it.
Oh,
why don't we have Dwayne Johnson singing my song?
Oh, you mean what's it called? You're Welcome.
You're Welcome.
And also, how is fucking Sing Street not on this fucking thing here?
Okay, right. And I hear a lot of people have been saying, or critics have been saying, like, it's like there's nothing special about that. Fuck you. There's everything special about that fucking.
About Sing Street, you mean?
Yeah, the soundtrack. It's great. Yeah, it steals from everything, but it's fucking great.
And also, like, I don't understand City of Stars. City of Stars. It's a shitty song.
Right.
I don't understand. The audition one I agree with. But City of Stars, and I haven't seen Trolls, but why is Trolls in here at all?
Oh, well, that song is like my son's song of the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is this is Justin Timberlake one? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe I'm wrong then. Yeah. Jim, the James Foley story, never heard of it, so I can't say. But man, how is Sing Street? I don't know. Okay, that's it.
How far I'll go? I mean, I like the song. I'm
yeah,
not
no,
saying I hate
good.
It.
Yeah, it's good.
But I think Lin-Manuel Miranda did not write the other, I'm sorry, or what's it called, You're Welcome
right.
song. I honestly think maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I think the whole soundtrack was written by him, but it might be somebody else, and they just want to give it to him.
Probably. Who do you think will win, though? I mean, one of the La La Land ones, right?
I mean, if City of Stars wins, I like the piano to it, but that's about it.
I think it'll win, too, because, I mean, critically speaking, everyone loves it. But not, like, if you ask someone on the street, they hate that song.
Honestly,
everyone hates that song.
I honestly like the audition song better.
Me too.
I like the audition song better, but I prefer to listen to City of Stars over the audition song. Do you get me?
But as a song by itself, I mean, the audition works better in the movie.
Yes. Right? Yeah, you're right.
I see what you mean. Is that what you mean?
Okay. Yeah, the audition one works better in the movie.
Right. Doesn't work independently by itself.
No, it doesn't work as strong.
Right.
Yeah, and City of Stars does. But, I mean, Can't Stop This Feeling is a really catchy tune. So.
Yeah, okay. Is it by Styx?
No, it's okay. Justin Timberlake.
Oh, fuck. Oh, all right. Last couple things here. We'll talk about the screenplays. They're just as important. The first step, the first major step, anyway, in a movie.
Are they really?
Yeah, I mean, technically. Adapted. Let's go with Adapted. Arrival. I think Adapted from a short story. Fences from a play. Hidden Figures from a book. Lion, I think, from a book. Moonlight from a play.
Two plays and a lot of books.
Two plays, almost always books. Most of the time, it's five books. So the fact that it's one short book or a short essay or whatever short story and two plays is kind of rare. So what do you think as the winner, or you think will win?
I mean, they're all pretty strong.
I mean, La La Land is not on here, so that's good.
Right, exactly. They're all really strong here, and I'm kind of glad that they have their own light here. And anybody that wins, I haven't seen Hidden Figures or Lion. But I got a feeling any of them that win, I wouldn't be butthurt about. I would prefer if I think Fences or Moonlight win. But like I said, I wouldn't be butthurt if
my understanding
wins.
Is that Fences is just a dialogue written the same from the play on the page.
I mean, if that's the case, fucking is great.
I mean, I'd say he does. I don't think that's the reason to win, though.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I would give it to Moonlight or Arrival. Personally, I mean, again, I haven't seen Line of Hidden Figures.
Yeah, because the Moonlight is from it from a play?
Yeah, it's from a play.
Right. I mean, I know the it's called, what is it? Moonlight. Oh, how dark part black boys look blue in the moonlight. I think that's what the play is called.
Something like that, yeah.
Something around those. Yeah.
I'm glad they cut down the title for the movie.
Oh, I mean, yeah. No, they told them, like, because they wanted to write the same exact thing.
All right.
And they were like, no, we're going to make it this. like something that producers actually did something right.
Can actually read better. Right. Original screenplay. La La Land's out here. I sort of got it better not win this one. Like,
they might give it to The Lobster. Who wrote The Lobster?
Yorgos Lanthimos and one of his co-writers.
Well, he's famous.
Why? Because I know his name. Yorgos Lanthimos?
Yeah, isn't he?
I mean, in critics, but he did Dogtooth, which is his big one, his first big one. Right.
Did he get nominated for that also?
For Best Foreign Picture that year, probably.
But he didn't get nominated for
That's
screenplay?
It. No, okay. No. And then Alps didn't get nominated at all for anything, as far as big stuff like this.
Okay.
And Lobster is his next one, so.
I mean, honestly, how's this? This is the thing with La La Land. If it doesn't win the big one, it wins everything else. Like...
Then that makes no sense. It should win the big one if they won't. I don't understand.
Right,
this.
we have this argument all the time.
Right, all the time. Yeah.
I mean, I
just caught myself repeating
20th
myself.
20th Century Women. I never saw it.
I heard it was amazing, and the best thing about it is the writing and the acting.
Cool. I mean, so. Hell or High Water again. Like I said, I mean, I don't know.
I guess, but the best thing about it is probably the dialogue.
The dialogue
and the
is
writing.
The best thing
so,
about
I mean,
sure,
if it has
sure.
to be on here, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
Best Original Screenplay is the weirdest place for nominations because they always put the movies that are like, oh, that you love the best or you get had the most fun with. Almost always on here. Like last year,
I mean,
it was
fun with
Nightcrawler.
Hard.
Remember Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
That's the only nomination it got was original screenplay. Yeah. Obviously, it didn't win, but it was like, oh, okay, that's a strange place. But yeah, it was written really well, I think. I would say it'll either go to The Lobster or Manchester because Manchester is the best thing about it is writing, other than Affleck acting it out. Just like what I said about Nightcrawler or Hell or High Water.
Okay.
So yeah, that's just general. Took longer than I thought, but those are our thoughts on the Academy Awards nominations / the Oscars nominations. Now you got me saying that and correcting myself. Thank you for that. That comes out on the 26th Sunday, the last Sunday in February. We'll be watching it. No, not live tweeting it, but we'll be watching it and we'll report back in 2 weeks when we come back for our next show. We're gonna take a quick break, Ralph. When we come back, we'll review. Well, I will be reviewing The Founder with Luke. Coming overseas from Thailand or wherever he's at. So stay with us.
Man, he travels quick.
He travels quick.
He was at the Nile.
I know.
So to summarize, you have a minuscule revenue stream, no cash reserves, and an albatross of a contract that requires you to go through a slow approval process to enact changes, if they're approved at all, which they never are. Am I missing anything?
I'm about to sum it up.
Tell me about the land.
The land.
The land, the buildings, how that whole aspect of it works.
Oh, pretty simple, really. Franchisee finds a piece of land he likes, gets a lease, usually 20 years, takes out a construction loan, throws up a building, and off he goes.
So the operator selects the site.
Yeah.
He picks the property.
Right.
You provide the training, the system, the operational know-how, and he's responsible for the rest.
Is there a problem?
A big one. You don't seem to realize what business you're in. You're not in the burger business. You're in the real estate business.
And we're back. I should say, back from the salty mines of the Nile River is Luke. How you doing, Luke?
I'm still here.
Yeah? How is the Nile River?
Long.
Long,
and
right.
Lack of movie theaters and civilization.
Right. How... I guess that's the one thing you have in common from where you are actually at and the Nile River. How you been? It's been like 3 weeks. No, it's been a while.
It's been so, quite some time, yeah.
At least a month since you've been on the show. I know that Raf and I did
our
last top 10 3 weeks ago. Anyway, but hopefully you've been okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still alive, still kicking.
Now, I know that usually we will start with the next one. We said we're going to do The Founder right now, but you and I will be reviewing that. But actually, I never gave you the opportunity to... have your own, you know, what we've been watching because you've been, you know, out of the loop, unfortunately, lately. So, Rafa and I did that already, but I'm giving you a chance to do it now. So, you've been watching three recent movies.
Yes.
And, tell me what you got.
I was finally able to go and see La La Land.
Oh, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you a musical skeptic or what are you?
I don't know. I like musicals. I have no issues with them, so...
Cool. All right. So what you think?
Overall, and granted, I have not listened to what you guys said about this movie, so I really enjoyed it up until the very end.
Really?
Yes.
That is crazy. So, like, you mean the ending, the...
Like, you know how they give that alternate reality
right,
feel?
Right, right. Yeah, that one.
Oh, it's like, why fuck with me like this?
Really?
That's what I wanted to happen.
Oh, I see. I see. So it did the effect that the movie wanted, but you didn't like it because of that.
Yeah.
Most people
gave me a false hope.
Most people liked it because of the effect it had. Like, they affected people the same way, but they liked that it made them feel that way.
Yeah.
That's usually the case. Oh, that's interesting. What else do you think about it? Like, the rest of it?
Oh, my God. It's beautiful. I could see why it got nominated for everything under the sun.
That's true. What is it, like 15 or something? I don't know. Like, a lot of them.
I think it's 14.
14? Okay.
I think there's only... It's tied with Titanic and another movie that's really old that I've never seen.
Yeah, that's usually the case. Yeah. That's cool. What do you think about the performances on that?
Oh, they were really good. I contemplated buying the vinyl soundtrack, but since I'm stuck up here, I got nowhere to listen to it. But I have listened to the soundtrack multiple times.
That's cool. All right, so that's La La Land. Yeah. What else have you seen?
The same day I went to see Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, that's right. Rob and I talked about this. You saw it on the same day, but you saw Manchester last, right?
Right, because I was going to see La La Land, and then I was like, okay, if I still feel like sticking around for another movie, I'll go see Manchester by the Sea.
Right.
And I'm so glad I did, because I thought that was a much better movie than La La Land.
Oh, you did? That's interesting. What'd
yes,
you think?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a little hazy on me now, but I was really surprised with Casey Affleck's acting. Like, he was really good. The plot was really good. It felt kind of drawn out and kind of slow-paced. But right. When they interjected the stuff from his, like, past, and you were kind of able to link it to what he's going through now, it kind of makes sense to see the struggles that he's going through and why he can't accept his responsibility.
Right, and also how it makes sense that he would think about that memory when we see it. Like, not just the fact that there's a flashback, but, like, when we see it is what he's thinking about, and it makes sense, you know, like that. That was good. How do you feel about Michelle Williams? Because I think she's nominated for supporting on that movie, and she's only like in two scenes. Did you think it was worth it?
She was really good though. Like,
yeah, she was. That one scene was really good.
Right.
Yeah,
but I mean, but then again, I think in Moonlight, the one guy from the beginning, like his father figure, he's nominated too, but he was only in like one.
Yeah,
segment.
He was like in the first third of the movie, right?
Yeah.
And not even like all of it either. But yeah, you're right. All right, cool. So I'm glad you liked it better. Did you like that order? Because we were like making fun of the fact that you're going to watch the downer movie last when you should be watching the hopeful movie first. Or last,
no.
I mean, so you can end on a hopeful note. No?
No, didn't affect it? No, not one bit.
Okay, that's good. What's the last movie you got?
The last one I rented, it was... War Dogs,
which I have not seen.
I never got to see.
Yeah,
in 2016, it's the one, you know, with Miles Teller and
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're pretty much gun runners. It was pretty fun, entertaining. Didn't expect what's that guy's name? Cooper? Oh, Bradley Cooper to be in it.
Oh, he's
popped
in it?
Out of nowhere. Yeah, he just pops out of nowhere. Apparently, he was, I think, involved in like the film or something. So
he's been doing that lately. He just popped out of nowhere in that 10 Cloverfield Lane. He was a boyfriend on the phone. He just does weird things. He's that raccoon dude right. In Guardians of the Galaxy. He's like not. Yeah, he's weird. What is the like? Is it worse or the same? I don't think it's better, but is it better than maybe Lord of War?
I've actually never seen Lord of War.
Oh shit, you haven't? That's a good movie.
No.
You should watch it. That's a fun movie. That's like fun. It's not so much funny as it is just like really entertaining, you know. And it has some as it's about gun runners and it's about the, you know, the minutia of it, so I feel like they'd be similar. But it's good. It's a Nicolas Cage good movie.
Yeah, I've always wanted to see it. I'll just take a look if it's on Netflix or something one day.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out. So those are the movies you've been catching up with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll move on to the actual review of The Founder. The American story of how an ambitious salesman named Ray Kroc managed to make fast food history by globalizing McDonald's. This is a super... It is biopic-y for sure, but it's also mixed in with... Like, it's almost like a biopic of a franchise more than the man, you know? But it is mainly about the man, Ray Kroc, played by... what's his name?
Michael
Keaton.
Keaton,
thank you. Michael Keaton, playing off the cuff here. It also has that Hofferman dude and that other John Carroll Lynch. Those two play the actual McDonald's brothers that did the first one, I think in somewhere in California, San Bernardino, I want to say.
Yeah, San Bernardino.
Right. They did the first actual McDonald's. They revolutionized their efficiency way of making fast food and making it super efficient to business and to the customer, but good quality or good enough quality. And from there, Ray Kroc in this movie steps in, and in more ways than one, through ambition and, like, you know, basically shadiness, takes over the company in a sense and makes the McDonald's that we all know today. So this is the story of that. Now, what did you think going in? What did you think it was going to be going in? Did you know the whole story or what?
I did read, I think it was Fast Food Nation when I was in grammar school. So that kind of gave you the gist of the whole McDonald's startup. And I just went to see it because it was the only good movie that they were showing, and I was able to see something that actually came out.
Right. Out of curiosity, what other films were they showing? What were your other options for films to choose? Do you remember?
I believe it was Rogue One was one of them, because they had that in there for a long time.
Right, right.
And I think Hidden Figures.
Oh, gotcha. I wish you picked it. Oh, no, The Founder is more 2017, so I guess you're right.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It's a good choice. All right, so what do you think of the Michael Keaton? I mean, I don't know if we ever see him as a bad guy. I mean, we don't see him as a bad guy often, but he is kind of.
It's like he's not bad, but he's pretty sketchy.
I mean, but, he's sketchy. I mean, I trust Beetlejuice more than him.
It's Michael Keaton being Michael Keaton.
Right. I'm curious, like, is it Michael Keaton being... Like, he had that weird accent in the movie, too, which I don't know if it's, like...
Really, I don't know if they're trying to mimic a Midwest accent.
Right. Did it feel Midwestern? It didn't feel Midwestern to me.
It did not.
Okay.
Considering we're from the Midwest.
Right. We are from the Midwest. But we're also from, like, the biggest city in the Midwest, so we might be biased on that. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
We're not from the country or anything. So the accent threw me off at first because I don't know if he was like. So at first I was like, is he imitating the real Ray Kroc, and is this how he talked like? And I'm like, or did he want to sound weaselly because he's a fucking weasel? Like, did he want to sound shady and skeptical?
Right.
Right. And either way, I think it worked for me in the end, but I was a little. I was definitely questioning it at first for me. But you loved him. You loved his performance?
More or less, yes.
Oh, liked it? You don't have to say love, I guess.
Yeah.
What in the film captured you the most about it? Like, is it just the pure history of McDonald's growing up, or is it like the theme of shit like business, how business can be made, or is it like what stuff grabbed you the most?
Mainly, I just wanted to kind of see like the biopic part of it, the story of Ray Kroc and how he went, you know, to build this ginormous franchise.
So it satisfied you at the end? Would you recommend this movie?
Overall, the movie was good, yeah, but it's not the best.
No, right, it's not the best.
Like, it insinuates that, like...
I mean, it's not even the best in the last year, right, probably?
Oh, God, no.
No. Like, it was just... Right, go ahead.
It was just kind of, like, too on the nose, especially, like, when he goes to... Minnesota, I believe, and he meets that other blonde, the guy's wife, and
who's that actor?
So obvious.
Who's the husband? He reminds me of somebody. Well, it's gone. Anyway, the guy from Fargo, right? That dude.
I don't know. I've never seen
Hard Candy,
the Fargo show.
Yeah, that show, Hard Candy, right?
Oh yeah, is that him?
Yeah, that's him. That's the spoiler for Hard Candy. He's a pedophile. Although you don't really, you kind of know the whole time anyway. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's him. Right. That dude's wife. That was my favorite part, actually, because the whole thing I knew was going to be a biopic. And I'm glad that it was just like focused on the business side. They did a little bit on his wife, his current wife, played by, from Wild. What's her name? Lauren something. I'm fucking up. Anyway, the wife. And, I knew it was going to do all that, and it was, but it was mainly focusing on the business, which is what I agree with, because, like, I didn't care about the man behind making McDonald's, but I did care about the mentality of what kind of man would it be to take over somebody's business that turned into the $1 trillion thing that it is.
Right.
Or $1 billion. You know, like, I just wanted to know the mindset of something like that. And I think the movie did enough to convince me that a slimy, weaselly, very ambitious, very American guy would get, you know. And I, that scene when he's talking to that other guy from The Office, I forget his name. He's telling him that you're in the real estate business, not the fast food business.
Yes. And that, like, was amazing.
Right. That was like, that was the point of no return. That was the shifting. That was the trade winds changing. That was the moment where, without that conversation, even though, although he probably would have figured out eventually, McDonald's wouldn't be what it is. And that's crazy to think about. You know, it makes you feel for the power of that, because, you know, you can't avoid McDonald's. People in all over the world know it. So it's kind of a big thing. And I like that part about it. But I'm glad they didn't do the whole, you know, how he started or how he grew up, how he made his first sale, selling milkshake
pretty
bullshit.
Much got, it started at where it needed to start, where he was just trying to sell, what is it, milkshake machines?
Yeah, milkshake machines, yeah. And no one would buy because it would, like, do five in a row or whatever. And yeah, nobody, like, we only need one. I don't understand. You know? It's funny how every time he went to those other drive-ins, there was more. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a Sonic, and now those are kind of like quaint and they're cool now in retrospect. But, like, it's funny seeing the fall of those restaurants and the rise of fast food.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool. Anything that you wanted to see that the movie didn't, like, do for you, or didn't, like, more do more for you, or dive deeper?
Honestly, no, because there was, I didn't know much about Ray Kroc going into this, so I can't say, like, oh, I wanted to see more of this aspect of his life, or, you know, this other aspect. Although, I pretty much touched on everything with the McDonald's brothers, so I think it's pretty much.
I like how honest they are. I like how, like, hard, honest, hardworking type of people they are. And John Carroll Lynch, I knew he was going to get a heart attack. I knew it, that one of those phone calls from Ray Kroc was going to get him to get, you know, get a heart attack or anxiety or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was complaining about his doctor from the beginning of the movie. I'm like, dude, he is going to die. I mean, he didn't, I guess, but that's good. Anyway.
It took me forever to realize who the other brother was, which is Nick Offerman. And yeah. I was like, oh, like, because I just know him from Parks and Rec. And he just plays such a different person. And I'm just like, why do I know this guy?
Yeah. He's in a lot of things.
Like, I know that voice.
I know him from Fargo also, season two. He's in that.
Oh, he's in Fargo.
Yeah, he's in the show. The show.
I know. I got to watch that one day.
Yeah, you got to see it. I have them all if you want. Anyway.
Well, when I get sent to Alaska, I'll take it with me.
No, I think you should see that when you're sent to, like, Arizona, so that way you don't feel colder, you know, or whatever.
Well, when I get sent to Fargo.
When you get sent to Fargo, will that happen? Can that? Is that one of the locations you can be sent?
I don't. No. Well, it's North Dakota, right?
Yes.
Yeah, North Dakota is a place we can get sent to. It might not be Fargo, but a lot of towns in North Dakota.
Right on. Okay. It'll be fun if you do, because then I'll definitely give you the Blu-rays. So one thing I did want more about the movie, even though it was explained enough, like, I got the gist, is that, you know how at the end, third act, he gets more, like, at first I wasn't sure where it was going, but when he met that dude's wife, the Hard Candy wife, you know, I forgot her name, she, you know, I forgot the actress's name. Is that,
Linda Cardellini.
Oh, okay. See, Amy Smart and her looked exactly the same to me sometimes, so, you know. Anyway, Linda Cardellini, she's from that show on Netflix, the water one. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Oh, I just know her from Grandma's Boy.
Oh, really? I don't remember that movie very well. When they first meet, and he's clearly, like, hitting on her, or, like, really, like, looking in, like, it's so...
It was so blatantly obvious they beat you with it.
Right, I hated that scene, because I was like,
part I hate.
And why is this guy, like, not doing it? Like, any regular guy would be like, what the fuck are you gawking at my wife, you weirdo? I'm right here, you know?
Well, I think the business part of that was like,
yeah,
I can't fuck this up for myself. So what? He thinks my wife is hot. Which, you know,
right now,
he probably
but,
didn't think
yeah,
but they anything were still was going to happen.
Yeah, they were still bringing a deal in. I don't know. It didn't seem very forthcoming. I don't know. Anyway, but after that, they kept talking, right? And at first I was like, okay, she's just playing along with him, right? For the business. They're not like, she's not like into him, right? And right. As the movie went on, obviously they make it clear that she is into him because they have that one conversation like right before he dumps his current wife, Ray Kroc. Mm-hmm. They have a talk about the milkshake stuff and how it's a great idea and all this stuff. And she's like digging it. And I'm like, oh my God, they're showing us that she's like the perfect woman for him in the ambition side of like business. And so by the end, when they're together, I wasn't surprised and I actually kind of liked that. I just wish that they had more about it because I feel like after that scene, the next time you see her, they're together, you know?
Okay. Maybe in the collector's, you know, edition.
Oh, please, come on. Who's going to make a collector's edition of The Founder?
I don't know. Maybe you'll come with like a Big Mac or something.
Maybe, yeah, at a Big Mac. Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking that. It'll be in the kids' meal Blu-ray. Not a toy, just the Blu-ray. right on. The Founder. Anything else you want to say about it? I'm trying to think.
I don't know. It was still fun, you know. Just
yeah,
very bright, optimistic, you know, dog eat dog kind of world.
Yeah, I didn't get much of the bright or the optimistic. Like I really felt dirty, kind of sometimes.
I don't know. I felt for Ray like he really wanted this. He wanted to like really succeed in life and not just be some guy that goes from venture to venture, just trying to make ends meet.
No, right. He's the one guy in a million who got lucky and saw the opportunity and took it and then took it from there, you know? He did the Eminem Lose Yourself music version of everything. No,
spaghetti,
he did it.
Spaghetti,
yeah, exactly. He did do it. I just wish that if the movie was trying to make me see his side, I don't know if I was convinced because, like, one of the things that movies like this tend to do is that they make us want to root for the hero, right, or the main character. Well, and I didn't really root for him, you know.
Yeah, but maybe they didn't want to sugarcoat it either. It's like, hey, this is how this guy was, you know. Bam.
Right, you're right. I mean, the movie could be more cynical about it. Like they're trying to be more cynical about how this particular business came about and how shady it was. And this is how America is built. I'm not saying they're saying all of this political stuff in it, but I'm saying some of that maybe. And maybe the movie's not trying to make you like the guy. And in which case, if that's the case, then they succeeded because I didn't really, you know, give a shit about him or his stuff, but otherwise it was entertaining though. The movie is not like a hard watch. It didn't make me sleepy or wasn't that boring. Or you know, even the most boring times, it wasn't boring for me. So yeah, I kind of recommend it, like a loose recommendation if you're sitting around and it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And just, you know,
if it's
night
$10,
out.
I'll buy it.
Oh yeah, you would. Yeah,
probably.
If I hadn't seen it, I would rent it. You know, if I had I known yeah. everything. Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts on it?
No, I'm kind of hungry thinking about it now.
Are you? Yeah. Did you have a hankering for McDonald's after? Or no?
I actually have not had McDonald's since I've gotten here. So, except one day we went for hash browns and coffee, and that's not even really McDonald's.
Right, right. When I saw this movie, I was thinking, like, when's the last time I had McDonald's? Because, you know, you and I used to go all the fucking time. You know, I haven't had one in about 10 months probably. I was thinking, like, yeah, it's been almost a year, I think. So I'm good. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So that's it for The Founder. That's it for Luke. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, Ralph and I will continue the show on by reviewing the tentpole review of the episode, John Wick Chapter 2. It's gonna be fun. Stay with us,
John.
Can I see him?
You working?
Yeah. You?
Yeah. Good night.
Afraid so.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And we're back. But are we? You just heard the clip. But before we get going on to our review of John Wick Chapter 2, instead of giving you probably like a general ad, this thing is about our bonus episodes. Ralph, did you know that this month is our first bonus episode released to the mass media? The one we made, what, 5 months ago in October?
The one where we breathed very little?
Yeah, I think it was called Don't Breathe. Oh, so okay. You didn't breathe at all.
It was really close. Okay.
Yeah, so Don't Breathe is our first time release radio, so to speak, because we recorded that so long ago. It finally came out on our show, and it's on our website, of course, otherpodcast.com. If you want to know how to donate to us, and any donation at all will get you an early release of what you're going to see every month, 5 months down the road. This month, Ralph, we are reviewing for a bonus episode Get Out. I'm not saying for you to get out. The movie Get Out. The movie written and directed by Jordan Peele. And I hear that you were pretty excited to watch the movie. Are you not?
I was curious.
Curious? Excited. Not excited?
No.
That trailer's pretty cool.
Yeah,
the trailer's really cool.
I was curious because I was just like, it was a little bonkers. And then I found out who directed it. And I was like, okay, it's even weirder now.
Yeah, I'll read the description real quick before we move on. A young African-American man visits his white girlfriend's family estate where he learns that many of its residents, who are black, have gone missing. And he soon learns the horrible truth when another frantic African-American warns him to get out. He soon learns this is easier said than done. And it's crazy looking. It looks motivated. It looks bonkers. I don't see it. So that'll be our bonus episode. If not, if you can't or choose not to donate, you'll see this 5 months on the road. So be ahead of the game on that one, guys. Again, otherpodcast.com for all information and how to do that to our show. Now, let's get on with our review of John Wick Chapter 2. Ex-retired assassin extraordinaire John Wick is forced to kill one of the underworld leaders and as a result must deal with a contract against him. This is the latest action film. This is unprecedented in February releases. I think it broke the records, give or take, especially for a sequel. And no one saw the first John Wick coming the way it did.
Yeah.
And this one like doubled its... I don't say budget necessarily, but doubled its revenue for sure. It made a lot of money.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So again, it stars Keanu Reeves, Ian McShane, Ricardo Scamarcio, Ruby Rose for some reason, and Common. Common, yes.
I know.
Lance Reddick, of course. Lawrence Fishburne is in this. John Leguizamo is in a little bit. So yeah, those are the players of this thing, and it's written by Derek Kolstad and directed by Chad Stahelski. Or I think did I fuck that up? Stahelski? There you go. Maybe that's slightly better. So, Ralph, what did you think of this John Wick Chapter 2?
Well, I didn't know what they were going to do, how they were going to play this. It just seemed like they were doubling down on everything they did in John Wick Chapter 1. And it worked out. I thought I really enjoyed a lot of the action scenes. Mm-hmm. Just about every action scene, should I say. I think I overall enjoy just... it's a movie catered to what the persona of Keanu Reeves is or the type of roles he can play. It feels that way, kind of. Because it's not that he has his like deadpan face and he doesn't show emotion. He's a robot, even though they made a movie with him that he does that.
That is how his image is portrayed.
No, he shows emotion, though. It's just that he doesn't show it in the way that we're used to seeing a lot of things.
Oh, you mean humans?
Right, I guess.
Yes. I'm kidding. Yeah.
It's just that he doesn't show it, like, it's not on his sleeve all the time. It's not something that he has to, like, go out of his way to express it. He does express it. It's just that he's, like, very, very regressed in the way he expresses things. But I liked it. I like it overall. I really love his training, his scenes where he choreographs things. I think are really well done. Like overall, his stuff, like everything he does, is really pretty great. So this is a really great movie for me. I saw this and my theater was kind of packed on Thursday night, so opening week.
Oh yeah, opening week. Yeah,
yeah. I got there and I was like, oh okay, it's not that packed. But I got there like 10 minutes early. And legit, like, once the trailer started popping up, that theater was, like, really packed. And I was like, oh, wow.
Damn.
So, I mean, I can see why it's making its money. yeah, it's just a really fun movie to watch. And the way it ends, I mean, just tells you that they're going to go for another. So
that's true. They will go for another. Now, I will say that I think this movie pushes on what Keanu Reeves is used to doing. For example, he has to, I'm not saying in the emoting sense of the word. I'm saying, like, he has to speak, like, several languages in this movie, and he has to sound like he, not exactly super fluent, but he has to sound like he is proficient and confident in it. And I think he's definitely trying his very best to do it. And even though he doesn't quite succeed 100%, he does pull it off in the end. Like, a lot of the Italian stuff, I can only imagine if you're Italian, you must hate the way he pronounces it. For me, it didn't bug me too much, but I am not Italian.
Right.
So I don't really get all the mistakes he might be making, but I know he was fucking it up a little bit. But he is American, speaking Italian. The fact that he can understand it is cool enough, so I didn't bug him too much about it. But things like that, I think, was definitely a little more harder for Keanu Reeves to do than he's done before in past movies.
Sure.
So I'll say that right now. And I will say the Neon Demon, though, if you see that movie ever. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Okay, he's in that movie. you want to see the raw emotion he could bring out in that. I mean, I'm not saying he's bringing it out, but he makes you feel something. I'll tell you that right now. So John Wick Chapter 2 is definitely the first one was such a hit and such a sleeper surprise movie for me. And for everyone, that I don't know, it makes me wonder how much did they know what they had going in. It's like the Fast and the Furious series. Like, they had no idea what they were doing. They had cool cars, and the first one, they're like, we have badass people and hot chicks, and that's it. And then most of the movies are like that until part five, and then they realize they didn't realize it then, they had something amazing. And then 6, 7, they're like, oh yeah, we know what we have now. And now they're hitting their stride.
Sure.
I wonder how much of that is about the power of John Wick was made intentionally in the first one. But whatever it is, they know what they're doing in the second one. They know that for a sequel of an action movie to be better or just as good, they have to build on that world that they made.
Yeah.
Double down on the action, make it better, but, you know, in the same vein or same style as the first one, and make the stakes probably higher. And they do all of those things in a better way, in an awesome way. This movie's great.
Right, yeah. I mean, I like how it plays that we're not in the distant future. It's like 3 weeks later or something stupid, or five
right,
days.
He's looking for his car. If anything, the beginning is the worst part for me, because it got really ridiculous. Like, I didn't know he lost his car.
Right.
Even though they were talking about the pencil, like, oh yeah, I heard about the pencil story. Like, who the fuck does that?
Right.
And it was funny. It was Chewy. Like, that guy, the actor, I forget his name.
Russian
from Fargo, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stormare, really, something Stormare.
Uh-huh.
He is great, and he chooses scenery. But I think that's the worst scene. I was worried that they were going to be like, oh no, they're going to try too hard. Shit, they're going to fuck this movie up.
Yeah.
But right after that, once the actual plot gets going, I'm like, fuck yes, no, they got it nailed.
Right.
So, but we were saying, sorry.
No. Yeah. I mean, the fact that it takes place so close to the previous movie, and.
Right.
This next movie or third movie is going to take place even closer.
You're right, yeah. Probably the day after.
I mean,
or day of.
I mean, it could be. Right?
I won't be surprised if part three, chapter three, starts off with like three assassins getting their shit together, ready to kill this guy.
Right, exactly.
And going out their day.
Yeah, so like this movie, I don't know. I agree with you. That first beginning was just like, it was the weakest. It was fun to watch, but it was weak still.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the rest of the movie. And like... Right.
And it's also, it's a natural, I mean, as much as you can say about an underworld of assassins, it is a very natural progression. Like, the first one was an emotional revenge thing. And, I mean, it's hard to think, like, okay, it was just your car and a dog. But it wasn't just, it did enough to convince you that to do
sure.
it.
Sure.
But also, like, because of that action, meaning the action of killing billions of people, not billions, obviously, but, like, dozens, and basically eliminating the Russian right arm of mobsters, he did all that. But there's a consequence to that. Because he did that, he is prolific again, and he is wide open for either just more business, whether he wants it or not. And the fact that the deal comes in, the marker comes back to him, this whole marker thing to kill basically the head of the Italian mob.
Yeah, which is what's really yeah. cool about the movie is that they did double down on this world building.
Right.
And it kind of went ridiculous also, where it's just like there's literally... people just dying everywhere. And there's
they didn't have fun with it. Some of the stuff I think was intentionally made comically.
Right.
Like when Common and John Wick are fighting.
In the train.
In the train. Yeah. No, not in the train. No, the train too.
Oh, before the train?
The stairs.
Yeah.
They're fighting on stairs and you're like, they keep adding flights of stairs to the thing. I'm like, what the fuck? Where are they?
Right.
And I thought it was two and it was the third one and now it's comical.
Right.
And I think they're doing it on purpose. They know where they're at.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, you even wait for them to be thrown and fall down.
Dude, that suit's so badass, though. How much do you want that suit?
Right.
Fine, tailored suit, though.
Exactly.
It looks expensive as shit, though.
Oh, it probably was. No, but what I was getting at is that the fact that they double down, and it's like, and they kind of like, you know, give you those one-liners of like explaining things. It's like how we can do like, you know, interdimensional travel or whatever into other things. And they just explain, well, luckily somebody invented this one, whatever, you know, like machine that makes everything work in right. space. Same thing here. It's like, well, luckily the cops are on our payroll, so like we just do the mop, the cleaning crew.
You know, at first happens. I was like, how are they going to pull this off? Because the whole first movie, it's really a small window into this world, and we see every character being a bad guy. Now, this is a world where honor is placed so heavy that they're basically good guys with a dark side. You know, it's almost like that. But let's say, just say for the lack of a better word, they're all bad guys because they've all done shitty shit. They're all criminals. Yeah. In the eyes of society, they're criminals. Not to say that's a bad thing necessarily. Makes you think of a comic book villain, how their view of the world is different. And that just because of that, they're bad guys. Not necessarily, they don't have to be bad guys, but we treat them as bad guys. So I'm just going to put that out there real quick. But anyway, World of Bad Guys, part two, I'm like, it's definitely bigger, international. They go all over the world. Not really, just two places, but in Rome and here. And there's a lot more assassins in it, a lot more characters introduced, a lot more facets of the way it's introduced. Like every storefront you're going to see on the street in Chinatown, whatever. God knows what they have in their back room. God knows.
Right.
Or in their basements, right? Give them a gold coin. See what happens. Actually, no. Don't do that. But yeah. But you still see everyone bad. There's still not a good person in this movie. There's no good guy. I mean, John Wick is a good guy. But like, he is not, though.
But he's not, yeah.
He's killed many people before. I mean, I'm not saying I want a movie where I talk about his actual sins or him killing innocent people, but he was a contract assassin for the Russian mob. He killed innocent people, okay?
Right.
I don't have to see a movie that does that. I'm just saying he's done that, and he's killed so many people. A lot of them he didn't have to kill, by the way. Let's just put that out there, too. He doesn't have to kill everyone. He can maim them. He could Tony Jaw them, just break their bones. Maybe not, don't do that, but, you know, so... I don't know. I find it fascinating that this movie, part two, pulled off the same thing it did in the first one, which is it's a room full of bad guys. Like Payback, the movie Payback.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, he's a piece of shit. Right. And he still is, though.
The only good person in that was a hooker. And she's still doing illegal things. I'm not saying that she deserves death or anything, but I'm saying.
Right, and she's a hooker. Exactly.
Right. She's in that shady world.
Right, exactly. I think what I love about John Wick is you mentioned this. He doesn't have to kill him. He does. They're all bad guys, and they're all going to come after him.
I want him.
But
to
I love
kill
the efficiency. I love the efficiency and how tactical he is. Especially how he holds his gun. He doesn't hold it like a regular, like in any regular average Joe movie you would watch.
Right.
That's actually military style, like super trained SEALs.
You know what? It's a realistic version of the gun kata in Equilibrium.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah. Realistic. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Where he holds his gun very tactical, like all his moves are, all his shots are very precise. Like,
yeah, he's CQCing everybody. He's
exactly,
doing what Solid Snake does.
Exactly.
Metal
and
Gear.
What is great is like he disables and then kills.
That right.
His first shot is disable. His second shot is kill. If he could do it in the first shot, he does. But he knows that he has to what he can control. Right?
So many kneecaps.
I mean, that the scene with the shotgun. When he has a shotgun,
right?
It's the most brutal part. I feel pain for these guys.
The point blankness of it all too. Like
God.
Like forget the ones that you don't even see that he's shooting because right. they're so fast. It's happening so fast. But like the fact that he goes up to that one guy and he sticks it in, he's like loading it while like holding him and against the wall. And like the movie is, you know what the movie this movie does that also I think has similarities to The Walking Dead. One of the great things about The Walking Dead is that the zombie killing is amazing.
It is,
and every episode or two, or maybe three, they'll show you a different way to eliminate a zombie.
Exactly.
This movie does it 50 times in one movie.
Right.
They show a different way of doing something badass and something he's been doing 1,000 times, which is headshots.
Right. What I love is that when he goes against, like, I guess, a more ranked or a more skilled professional.
Yeah.
Instead of just regular henchmen, because there's a lot of dead henchmen.
Right.
He blocks his face with his suit jacket.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that's brilliant, because right. he has this armor.
Yeah, you can hurt your face all you want, just don't get a shot.
Right, exactly. I mean, and that's a beautiful thing about it. And they even the guy throws as a throwaway line in the movie where yeah. he's like, oh yeah, you know, it'll protect you, but it'll hurt. Like, just don't get shot in the face, and also like, you'll die. And right. he's like, right, thanks, legit. And he protects his face. He's and everything about him feels very fluid, very tactical, very everything that, like all yeah. his movements. That's what I love about the movie a lot. And from what I hear is,
you know
like,
how
he does all of his stunts.
There are firebenders and earthbenders. He's a bullet bender.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, no, no. That reminds me of that movie with...
He's like Neo in this almost, though.
He's like Neo. Yeah. He's a little Neo-ing yeah. a little bit. No, I mean, he would kill Neo. Even if he was all matrixed out, like, he would kill his old Neo version because that's how good he is. No, he is the epitome of efficiency. He is a well-fine-tuned engine
yeah.
in this movie.
Right.
And the fact,
he's... Yeah. He, I'm going to make a great one. He's Archer, just not drunk.
Just not drunk.
Right.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Although Archer succeeds because he's drunk most of the time.
Sure.
Although the fact that he gets in trouble is because he's drunk. So either way,
exactly.
it works
yeah.
out. Yeah, I agree. And I really love that scene. You know, one of the times we see civilians is when he is in that subway whole thing. Not, well, that subway car first, of course, you know, yeah. like scattering. But like before that, when they're shooting at each other across the way
yeah.
with mega silencers, yeah. where no one hears anything, and yeah. the bustle of the crowd,
right.
and there's like pew pew pew, like yeah. on the wall,
they're
like,
just missing each other.
Why yeah. has anyone else not done this in a movie yet?
Right,
I'm sure they have. I think Assassins or the Specialists.
Yeah, I think Assassins did that.
I think Assassins did that. Yeah.
What I really like is that you see how progressively in the movie. How much damage he's taken with the cuts, the amount of cuts, or how fresh the cuts are in his face.
Right, yeah. And I think that's one of the movie, the details in this movie also go a long way to make it so
sure.
enjoyable.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can't go back and say, well, they fucked up major. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. In yeah. the world of John Wick, this is the rules they set, and they haven't broken those rules yet.
Right, exactly. Yet.
But, and I don't think they will. I mean, if they do as good as, I mean, they're doing a great job so far. Why would they fuck it up?
Right. I love it because even though he's like, the big thing is like, well, why doesn't he just, like, this movie would end. There would be no movie if he just said no, right? He does say no.
Yeah.
And, but he's a man who has always followed the rules. And he does that. He follows the rules. He's an honorable man in this underworld.
I mean, that's why he has to go seek Ian McShane's advice.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, he was introduced in the first movie. To be very sage advice, leader to the international, which is a huge thing.
Sure, and obviously,
Mecca, basically,
somebody who loves him also. Like
someone who respects him.
Respects him, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they would hang out man, much unless they had, you know.
unless it was for business.
If it wasn't in the international.
Sure.
I don't think they would hang out or play baseball together, I think. But I do think that there's an amount of respect and honor that it's just so potent and so, it just keeps, it's the glue. The honor thing and the respectability of these people between each other, even though they're all criminals, is the glue of this movie. That's what makes this movie work.
Right, even Ian McShane's character bats for him when he finishes his job. He's like, he did his job.
Yeah.
You need to get him out of his deed, like get him out of this blood oath, blood pact that he made with you.
Right.
And now that his marker's been released, like technically you could do whatever the fuck you want, right?
Right.
Which he does. That's the whole movie about, right? Yeah. But like, hey, he's finished with your side of the deal. Whatever he chooses and whatever you choose to do, that's on your own fault, right?
Right.
Which is great. But like, did you find it like when he kills the guy at the hotel?
So we'll talk about that. So the way they're setting up the third chapter three, probably the last one based on the way this is going, is that the stakes are even higher. They're doubled because the international is no longer a safe haven for him. If anything, based on their history, they're going to go after him.
He's blacklisted.
They're not going after him because I remember there was that girl assassin.
They killed her immediately.
After a while, when she was found, because she was still, well, you know, doing killings after her international breach. But they killed her eventually, is the point. And I thought that's what they were going to do with John Wick, but I think he's just blacklisted. Because it was, you know, he knows the guy. He's over, you know, he has more credence, I guess.
Well, yeah, he's blacklisted from that, and he's basically blacklisted from all the contacts and everything.
Yeah, because he's killed a major leader in the criminal underworld.
Not only that, but he broke the rule of you can't kill anybody in that hotel.
So, yeah, so the safe haven is gone, and all the criminals in the world know his name, and are after him. Not after him necessarily, but like don't want him around.
If I'm correct, all his gold coins and all this stuff are useless, actually.
I mean, the ones in his house are still in there. I mean,
but they're useless. He can't go and like use the... Like, no one should be helping him.
Well, does that mean that the businesses surrounding the International don't work?
I think he's literally fucked, yeah.
I mean, maybe he has to go through normal channels like gang banners, but they probably don't know anything about the underworld like this.
No, I mean,
he probably has to go to eBay now.
They might have heard stories, right? And I think what this movie does great is that in the first movie, you hear about this guy who was a legend, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the first movie a lot. And it's a legend, and then you're just seeing the guy like, listen, like, I'm a retired guy, like... Leave me be, right? And then you see what he's like. I'm still capable of shit. Don't fuck with me. Leave me be, right? And you see the guy like, okay, he still can take. He still can throw down, right? And in this movie, it's just like okay, listen. We obviously know you're amazing, right, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But like you're
Michael Jordan of killing.
Everyone's like you're still like all those other things are just. Either still stories or whatever, right, from before, right. And it's just they call him the boogeyman, right?
Right.
That's one of the things they call him, right? But he's like, yeah, you're a great guy, but you can't go against like a city, right? Which is basically what happens to him.
I mean, he's killed a city's worth by now.
I mean,
you're right. I mean,
a small city.
He might get Lawrence Fishburne to help him though,
right?
Although it looks like he doesn't like him.
But yeah, maybe but him. what he does great is that he, what's it called? He brings his stories of legend to fruition. The pencil thing, for example.
The pencil thing was amazing because not only was it referenced in the first movie, they built on it in the second one by making the reference again with Peter Stormare in the beginning. Yeah. And then actually killing two motherfuckers with a pencil in such a brutal and efficient way that I was like, whoa, that is badass. That was cool. That was like a joke coming back, but it was like a kill joke. Not even a joke. It was a killing reference.
Right.
Back again. It's like the three-time rule. Bring it three times.
Exactly.
It was such a good job for that. But it leaves... the ending is such a great leave-off that... It has such a great send-off that you just like... You have no idea what's going to happen in the next one exactly. You don't know how he's going to solve it. But you know it's going to be like crazy big. And if they do a good job, it'll be amazingly choreographed and greatly shot.
Right.
And also, no shaky cam at all in this movie. I'm so glad that's out of style now.
Thank God.
God, the shots are pristine. You know exactly what's going on. Right. Every room you see ahead. It's good.
Right.
It's good. I really have no idea. I mean, I love Jason Bourne movies. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But like, it's better to train an actor to fucking do it right than to cut away to make it look like he's doing it right. I just think that's better. And this movie is proving that. Other movies do, too. But yeah, this one, too. Anything else you want to say? Like a standout or something else? Like,
you know what? I thought I was really going to be bothered by this is the scenes where they're in the museum and it's all the mirrors and crazy shit.
Oh, the Enter the Dragon thing?
That shit annoys me because it's like, it's played out. It's fucking been done already. We see it in everything. Like, it's always a fucking villain movie where something has to happen. Like it's a bad guy trope thing.
Right.
Where there's mirrors everywhere all of a sudden, right? And they're like in a fun...
Remember Tango and Cash?
Oh, fuck, exactly. Shit like that, right? It has to be something, some kind of fucking maze that they're in, right? And it's always like that. But in this, it's like a really fucking weird maze, right? It's so weird. Like the mirrors move and take you to different spots.
Right.
And like, it's so weird and all gets used. It's really I still enjoyed it. I just thought it was gonna be let down completely.
I don't think it's my standout piece for sure.
It's not my standout piece either.
I think the ending for great action movies is always the hardest because it's so hard to keep up with the rest of the movie. Where like even
this ending was good,
but like let's say the only bad part I would say about the first John Wick is that its ending wasn't as great as the sum of its parts, right? That wasn't as great as the middle or the beginning, especially the nightclub fight scene in the first John Wick, for example, was like probably the best part. And then an hour later, cut to the ending, it's not as great. But this one, it also wasn't as great as like say the subway battle or any of the other shootouts. But it was better for sure. And I think it was kinetic enough and enjoyable enough for me to not think about it too much. But it was a little lesser, for sure. But it was good. It was good. The mirror thing.
No, I think the standout scene for me is still when he's escaping and then he gets backstabbed right away. And the Vatican or wherever the fuck they are.
Right.
not the Vatican, but in Italy, where...
Well, he planned for that, too. Like how he put all these guns and perches in areas. Exactly.
I love when he gets the thing. And the owner of the presidential suite or whatever guy, the hotel in Italy, goes like, I just have one question for you, man. You're working back. Are you going to hear the kill the Pope? He's like, no. Then my house is open to you. Right. I give no fucks who you kill.
Right.
Like, basically saying, like, listen, I just got one thing with you, buddy. Because I know if you're here, you're here for something big.
Right, yeah, here for some. Right. No one brings you out of bed for nothing.
Right, exactly.
For no good reason.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That was really great. You know what I also love about these movies so far, they haven't broken, stylistically speaking or character-driven speaking, is that... They made out John Wick to be obviously the amazing force of power that he is. He's so efficient. He is not like intelligent, but he is smart in his. He is the expert in his field. So like he doesn't have to be the smartest guy on the planet, but he is the smartest guy in his field. And they've shown that with it. Now here's one thing that I really want from the future stuff. They need an actual villain that can come up with him. Now Common did a good job.
Yeah.
And I can probably honestly I can see them teaming up for the next movie. Honestly, I see that coming.
You think Common's alive?
You think he took the knife out of his aorta?
I think it looked like he passed out right there, and he's like, I'm going to die.
Oh, I think he's going to live. I thought he was going to live. So I thought it was pretty
you think,
mean.
You think that and Ruby Rose are still alive?
No, Ruby Rose is fucking dead.
Okay.
That's another thing is that these last two movies seem to show like they're always going to have like a big henchman that's a female in all of them. They had in the first one too.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was like it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
I want another one for the next one. But Ruby Rose had no shot against them. I don't care.
She knew it, though.
Yeah.
I love this code, though, where, like, Common, he could have, like, any other person would have been like, it's John Wick. Like, I'm not going to go against John Wick. Right? But, like...
I don't want to climb that mountain.
Like, he knows... Well, exactly. He knows, like, it's, right. Like, it's... I'm either... One of two things are going to happen. We both die, or I die. Like, there's nothing fucking else is going to happen. Like, like, literally, that's the outcome.
Well, I get really lucky, maybe.
Right, right. Like I'm not going to get lucky. Like, they just know it, right?
I'm not going to
get lucky. But this guy, again, this whole thing about honor, yeah. This whole thing about other things, right? It's like these rules that are implemented already. Like, he has to avenge his master's death because he didn't do his job of protecting his master.
Right.
And because he'll never be allowed anywhere else unless if he kills that person. So maybe he's kind of blacklisted or shunned. If he's still alive.
But also, you should be blaming the person that took the marker out on him.
We can't do that. That's not how it works.
I think it does work. I think it could work that way. Sure. I think he is just not letting himself work it.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. You're right.
Like, it's still a bad guy's world. He's still really insanely proficient. Well, no one will hire him. That's
right,
like,
exactly.
I don't believe that.
I just think also, I don't know. We'll see.
What did you think of the leader committing suicide before John Wick kills her?
That was awesome.
Do you think that he should have left it like that instead of shooting her in the head after?
No. I think the way he did it was like, okay, you needed to do what you did. I need to do my part.
No, I knew
job.
That too. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no. I don't know. When he shot her, I was like, man, this guy, A, made sure this bitch is dead. And B is like, who cares if she cut herself? I fucking still shot her in the head. Like, I fucking ended it. Like,
well, I don't know if it's about that. It's more about like fulfilling the marker. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, that sucked. I wish he left it because I think that ambiguity towards the bad guy who double-crossed him, which I totally suck. I mean, he's such a weasel, would have been fun to explore. But I guess the movie was packed full of other stuff, and it was good. It was good either way. But I was just curious what you think. Anything else on John Wick Chapter 2?
I mean, yeah. The last thing is, I know we mentioned the ending like 6 times already, but it's like how much control Ian McShane has. Amazing.
Oh, my God. That scene
that was
with
really
all the
scary.
Pedestrians.
Yeah.
Is everyone a bad guy? Right. I'm never going to New York.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I'm curious about how many of them are like part of like one of those flash dance groups. And they're just like, oh, we're supposed to just say hello to a guy or look at him. All right. And they're not actually bad guys. They're
right.
Just hired by Ian
McShane.
Yeah. They're actors and shit. Like I said, the one thing I really want from the next one, obviously higher stakes for sure. But like I would like to see a very suitable villain against John Wick. I'm not saying like... You know how the villain in this one technically is that Italian guy who double-crossed him. But he sucked. He wasn't a fighter. He wasn't exciting. Shooting him was not as satisfying as fighting Common and not even winning, you know? Like,
also, what's with the love of Common in movies?
I don't know. This is the only thing I liked him in. What else is he in?
He's in a lot of other things.
Remind me.
Who cares?
I mean, I'm sure he's good at other stuff, but this is the only thing I remember him so far. I can't think of any other movies. I know he's been in other shit, but I just don't remember. Is he like super popular? More than we think, or something? Common?
He does a lot of stuff where it's like a lot of civil rights stuff.
So. Oh, he's in Selma.
Yeah.
That's where I remember him from. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't like the best thing in Selma, but he was pretty good. He was in Suicide Squad, which I don't give a fuck about. Entourage? What was that?
I'm telling you, he's in everything.
Yeah, he's in a lot of shit. Now You See Me. He was in that.
Yeah. Okay. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, before that, I don't really care. Date Night, whatever. Terminator Salvation, whatever.
Exactly.
And the game, too. All right, sure, whatever. Anyway, anything else? I think that's it, right?
That's it.
On John Wick Chapter 2. Check it out. We recommend it highly. Can't wait to catch this fucker on Blu-ray. That is it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Don't forget, remember, to send us your thoughts at podmoviecast@gmail.com for anything we review or suggestions on a show or whatever. I know that I've gotten some feedback that I'm still compiling. A lot of them don't really care if I mention it on air. They're just like, you know, we like this stuff or hated this stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, but send it to us. I read them all anyway. Otherpodcast.com is our website for everything we show and talk about here. You can follow me personally at Armin Filmmaker on Twitter. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ruff.
You could follow me on Twitter at GamerRalph with two R's and an F. And you could follow me on my Twitch channel at SueTrauma. Figure out how to spell Sue. That's your problem, not mine.
Right, and it's a lot of Overwatch going on there.
There's a lot of Overwatch going on, but I got a feeling this weekend I'm going to start playing Resident Evil.
Which reminds me, I'm going to let you borrow my
copy. That's why
right
I said it.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm going to start it. I'm going to play it at night. I might play it with like only one light hitting me in the back.
Let me know when you play. I want to see if you play.
And then, yeah, you'll get my reactions because I know nothing about this. I've avoided everything great this movie, about this game.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bitch when it comes to these kind of games.
Oh, me too.
But I'm still like, I still push forward because I'm like, it's a fucking video game also.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Right. Watch me play it. Let me know what you guys think.
You can also follow Armin Filmmaker on Letterboxd for all my movie-watching habits. And also, I do another show, guys. Another bi-weekly show called SOS-Radio, which you can find at sos-radio.com. And also on iTunes, we talk about everything supernatural, aliens, ghosts, mainly a lot of ghosts and paranormal activity. We have two mediums are sensitive to the paranormal people on our show, and they're legit, and it's pretty cool. Check that out. Also, please support us, if not through donations on iTunes, with the ratings and a review. That would be amazing. On the review, you can write whatever you want, but give us 5 stars. That's all I give a shit about. Or any stars, really. Just, you know, make the thing going. Remember, we are a bi-weekly podcast. We're back on our regular schedule. I'm going to tease you a little bit, guys. And not the next show, but the show after that, we're going to start doing our marathons.
What?
Yeah, we're introducing marathons into this new podcast.
What?
And we've done it before, Ruff, in our old show. But we're bringing it up again here. We're going to do animated feature films.
Ooh.
We'll discuss more about it later on as details come across. Next time on another movie podcast, before we end this, we'll talk about the Academy Award winners. And also the ceremony itself. We're not going to talk about the dresses unless one's really bad, like Bjork or something. But otherwise, we're not going to talk about that.
Way to assume.
Right? Way to assume. We'll also review A Cure for Wellness, which I was trying to look for other movies. Rob, there's not many movies going on here.
Can we but not?
Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to watch A Cure for Wellness. If Luke sees it, you don't have to see it.
Sweet.
So,
dude, I'm going to push him to watch this movie.
It's coming out this weekend as this show comes out, but we'll review it for the next one. And here's one thing I'm going to try, Ruff, and you let me know if we can do this. I really hope we can. I want to review Logan. And the reason I want to review Logan
it's
that...
this week?
No, it's next week.
Oh, that's next week. Yeah, you're right.
That's why I want to review it. I want to review it in time for the next show because it might be like that night.
I mean, we could watch it Thursday night.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it Thursday night and record right away. I want to see if I can get a recent release that's actually a more recent, like, day of release to our show.
Okay.
So that way, not only to get more ratings,
I mean, we'll probably
hits,
buy tickets advance over that.
But also, like, to be just a little better on that.
Yeah,
I think we can do it. So that is it for our show. I am Oscar.
Ralph.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. What the hell was that?